You're listening to This Naked Mind with Annie Griss.
Hi, this is Annie Grace, and welcome to This Naked Mind podcast, and I'm here with Karina. Hi, Karina, how are you?
Pretty good. Hi, Annie. So excited to be here.
So good to see you. So why don't you take us kind of back to the beginning in your relationship with alcohol? Where did it all start for you?
So it started when I was 13 years old. I had my first hangover, and I was drunk. I had drank rum and coke, which I remember being drinking and saying, I will never, ever drink this again. And I never did. Just rum and coke, not drink. But you probably were thinking, like, I was in Lima, Peru. And like I said, I was 13 years old. But to take you back a little bit from there, I was born here in the States in Colorado, and my mom is Peruvian. My dad was American, and he passed away when we were kids, small. And at some point, I guess my mom decided, I'm just going to go back to Peru, where she was from, where she felt comfortable, her language. And she moved my sister and I. My sister is a couple of years older than I am. And we moved to Peru. I was 9 years old. So, I just remember moving there. I understood Spanish, but Spanish was not my first language. I did not speak it. So I moved there. It was culturally a whole shock. It was everything in Spanish. I was put in a school, everything, writing, reading. I mean, they had an English class, which I obviously aced, but it was about 6 months that I barely talked. It was really uncomfortable how I had to learn. And of course, you know, kids learn languages, and that's great. So it was fine after 6 months, a year. It was good. But I always felt like I didn't fit in. I always said it was hard for me at school, especially math. And I would say in particular math. At that time, I didn't know, but I always blamed because it was more advanced. Math was more advanced there. Years after, I realized that I was dyslexic. so that was the reason why I probably didn't, was good at math or a lot of the subjects. But I always felt out of my element, like I didn't belong there. So I remember finally when I was about 14 years old, we decided to move back to the States. But how I got drunk at 13 is still a mystery. I don't know where we went to a party. And alcohol is very, in Peru, and I think for most of South America, but at that time, this was in the early 90s, people just could go to the store. I could go to the store at 13 and buy drinks. We would have, people would graduate from high school, that would have proms, but they have like pre-prom. So, but at that age, you would go to these parties, and there would be beer. I think beer, it was mainly beer and wine on the table, and everybody would drink. And then you would be picked up at 5-6 o'clock in the morning. So it was a party like all night. So there was no restriction of alcohol, which it's interesting to me because it was. And I did not, my mom did not, I've never seen her drunk. Maybe one time tipsy, but as adult, when we went to Ilias, celebrate her 60th birthday. But that was about it. I didn't have that exposure at the house. It was more socializing, going out and having alcohol very available. And it was never seen as anything bad for kids to drink. So I was actually finally at 14, I'm like, I'm finally comfortable here. I was actually 15 years old. And my sister in Peru, there's 11 years instead of 12 years when you finish school. So you finish at 17 for most of them, or even 16 if you're younger. So my sister graduated from high school. And of course, the normal thing was move back to the States so she can go to university. And being a typical Hispanic mom, you know, she would never let her child go to go to the States by herself. No, no, we all had to move. But then again, there I was having to go back to high school. I was in a nuns, all girls nun school. Then I came to Miami. We moved to Miami, and it was public school. And it was, again, another cultural shock that I was like, oh my God, I didn't belong either. I wasn't comfortable there. It was a lot. And so again, alcohol was there. And everybody drank. So I remember getting my fake ID at probably 18 years old, 18, 19. And again, it was normal. Everybody drank. And I remember saying this to my friends now. I think that we opened Miami Beach. It was, I knew it wasn't as popular as it is now, but we would go bar hopping from Thursday to all the way to, we would rest on maybe Monday. But then again, Tuesday, you would come back like at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. But yeah, I mean, I went to school. Graduated from school. I had a good job. It wasn't anything that alcohol was never, it was just part of partying. You know, you would just have too much to drink. And then you're like, you know, I wish I would have had, you know, less. And this was when I was in my 20s, I never considered alcohol being an issue. Fast forward, moved to, I ended up in Miami, I mean, in Atlanta, and I traveled a lot. And again, you know, your typical meetings that you go after work, dinner, drink, maybe you have a little bit too much, you wake up with a hangover, you could still, you know, go to those meetings, lead meetings. On the flight back, of course, I would never fly without drinking. I mean, who does that? Unless it was like a super early flight, you know, you always have a drink to calm down, to relax. Again, never saw alcohol being an issue. It was, you know, fine. So at some point, I met my husband. And we met, of course, drinking, and we partied a lot. That's all I knew. And in 2009, my first son was born, Gino. And then in 2010, my second son was born, Mateo. And that's when life got a little bit, took like a curveball. I was still traveling a lot. Working, but I remember thinking it now, thinking back, I think I had postpartum. I remember like either after jumping off of a plane or jumping off, like after landing on the way back home, I just wanted to, as much as I wanted to see them, I just wanted to, or after work, I just wanted to go to a hotel and just like order room service and have a glass of wine and just sit there. Like I was overwhelmed, and I don't know how to explain it because I love my kids to death. But it was a lot. I just remember being very overwhelmed with stuff. And the best way that, again, we could manage was, we'll go ahead and drink, you know, especially in the weekends. It was a party a lot. And it was one of those things that's all we knew. Like, that's all I did, you know, on the weekends. It was sacred, you know, it was time to party. Cause we didn't want to, I didn't want to, my life to stop because I had kids, you know, I wanted to continue having fun and party. So when my kids were six and seven, I decided to leave corporate and open an indoor cycling studio and continue doing, I also did real estate. So I said, I'm going to do that, you know, full time. And I loved it. Unfortunately, the cycling studio did not work out. So I found myself being a lot at home. I would still teach. I had been teaching cycling, gosh, for 20 years. So I, all this time, which I could have hangovers or whatnot, I always thought I was a total functioning person. I mean, I worked, I still worked out. I could teach at 5 a.m. in the morning with a hangover, but life was good. I mean, it was doable. But I think that as I got older, things just got tougher. I was not drinking, particularly just going out on a Saturday or Sunday brunch. Even then, I would still sometimes drink too much. It was just that it was, kids were at school. It was Tuesday. I didn't have another appointment, you know, till later, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock. And I'm like, I mean, I can have a glass of wine, you know? So I would have one glass of wine or one and a half, which is probably was four, but I would consider it, because it was a one glass of wine that was huge, I would consider it being one glass. And I just thought that was okay, because I would look at the refrigerator. I'm like, is my husband going to notice? Would he even care? I mean, it wasn't like I was drunk. I was just drinking maybe, you know, I just needed that to relax. And I just remember that clearly. It was hitting that relaxation. And then the first sips was so good. And then it was after that second, you know, glass of wine, I felt guilty. And I would stop. Then I would do whatever I needed to do. But that became more increasing, more and more. Like, I was thinking, do I drink? Do I not? How many times do I have to, you know, Friday? Okay, I'm just going to drink Friday. And I would make these promises. I'm only going to drink Friday, but Saturday, I'm going to take it easy. And then Sunday is out, like, no way. I'm not drinking Sunday because I have to wake up early on Monday. And I would just make these promises to myself over, over and over again about how much I would drink. Or I would love this one. I'm not going to drink Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I'm not drinking. But I mean, Thursday is kind of like the weekend. The weekend starts. I'll just do a little bit of Thursday. And then that's all I thought about is, you know, how much, did we have any wine at home? Do we need to go buy something? And it was a lot of times, you know, I remember watching movies, and it wasn't going out anymore. I mean, I was watching movies with the kids, and up to this day, it's a blur. I mean, it's a blur what movies I've watched. I have no idea. Like, a lot of the other day, one of my kids goes like, don't you remember watching that movie? I'm like, no, I don't remember, because I was too involved in not being present. You know, I was too worried about how much wine we had. Whoever had drank less, I would tell my husband, it would be one of us would go around the corner to buy more wine or beer, whatever that case might be. So it just became a little bit a lot. And then, of course, came COVID. And that was, I mean, we didn't even have to worry about who cares? It's day drinking. And we made fun. I mean, it was because everybody else does it and everybody did it. I never thought that I had a problem until I started thinking, do I have a problem? Right? Mr. Google, let's see what Google says, my alcoholic. And there's so many, you know, how much is too much? It's funny how you listen to what you want to hear, right? Like, some website says, you know, one drink a day is fine. But what do you decide? One drink, and then you start doing the math. Really, if I've already said one drink a day, it's totally fine. I mean, I could totally drink one drink a day, but it wasn't one drink a day, because then you add up a little bit more. And then, so 20, and I had made promises to myself, I'm going to stop drinking less. I never ever would have said, I'm going to quit drinking, because that would be weird. Like, who's like, I don't know anybody that doesn't drink. I didn't know anybody. So that would be a little bit too forward. It was more about controlling. I want to control alcohol. I mean, I'm going to drink less. Why am I not normal? And then I started asking that question. I'm sure, I'm the only one that drinks that much. Like, I'm the only one that can't control it. I thought I was a pro. Like my days in Miami Beach, I thought it was great, you know, because I partied a lot and, you know, it was fine. But why can't I control it now? Like, why am I thinking about, you know, alcohol so much? Or when is going to be my next drink? So I just started thinking about that relationship with alcohol. And I remember, can't remember what app I downloaded. I've tried to remember, but it was about drinking less. And I did it for 2 months. Like, you would put in an app, you know, how much drinks you have. And it's like, it was just so hard, because then I was thinking about drinking less. And the more I thought about drinking less, the more I drank. It's like, it happens even with food, right? I'm going to go on a diet. And then you try to have less of that sugar. And the more you think about it, the more you're like, whatever. And that's a typical thing, right? You've already said, like, if you had one glass, you're like, okay, whatever. Might as well just next Monday. I'll start next Monday. I'll think about, you know, drinking less next weekend. So that year, 2021, my son, my youngest son, got diagnosed with Tourette's and OCD. So Tourette's is a neurological, for those that don't know, it's a neurological, I'll call it disease, neurological
disorder.
There we go. Thank you. It accompanies a lot of times with OCD, but it's a lot of times comes with anxiety. And I remember my husband and I just got into every single thing that we could read on about, you know, Tourette's. And so we wanted to, you know, really find out everything that we needed to find out about, you know, Tourette's. And a lot of the stuff that when we started this journey, it was mid, more like August, September, was how do I, you know, there's so many theories about taking a lot of medication, no medication, medication and therapy. And again, I'm putting anybody out there, it's, you know, you have to do your own research and what you do. But I grew up in a, like my mom, you know, she's 80. And then, you know, my aunt too, they're all older, but they've all very healthy, but they're never, ever, they're anti-medicine. So I think that grows up into like, oh, how many, you know, every time I go to a doctor, she always says, do I really need to take this medicine? I'm like, it's only like four. but again, it's those things that I wanted to find an alternative. And a lot of it pointed at, you know, you have to be calm and, you know, stuff about anxiety. And I remember thinking, every time I drink, I get anxious. And here is my logic. And I'm like, what would happen if, you know, when Mateo grows up, is he going to grow up knowing that, you know, alcohol, you drink a lot? Is he going to drink alcohol? Because I started reading, somehow that took me to people that drink, you know, get a lot of anxiety. So then I'm like, well, I don't want him to grow up and to drink and then to get anxiety. Then it's only going to trigger, you know, his tics or whatnot. So that really, that voice, that 2021 really, I'm like, wait a minute. So I remember reading on that app also that alcohol was poisonous. And here it was me prior to all this, I would roll my eyes. Please, who would make poison and sell it to us? And I remember thinking about that. I'm like, okay, they went a little bit too far. Like, how could, that's not poison. There's no way. And then the more I started, you know, researching, I was like, oh my God, it is poison. But I think a couple of years now inside my, something had been telling me that you just shouldn't be drinking this, right? You know, what makes you sick, what makes you up, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, which, like you said on your book, I remember that was my, My, whoa, is she talking to me? I've said that so many times, 3 o'clock, I'm never going to drink. And then you are the next day drinking for whatever reason. But I remember just thinking like, this has got to stop. You know, this, there's something, a voice just telling me that I feel this is not good. That year too, my mom, we were taking her to doctor's appointments, and I was pretty sure just from the end of December, remember when the doctor did a biopsy, there's something in her eyes that I'm like, this is not going to be good news. Surely enough, she was diagnosed with cancer, and she's doing fantastic now. But I remember thinking all of these things, and I said, I just have to be I need to be present. Something's got to change here. And one of the things that's not helping me is alcohol. And January 2nd, I remember going out with some family, dinner, and everybody was drinking. And I didn't want to drink, but like, okay, I order a glass of wine. And I remember drinking that wine, like almost at the end of the dinner, because I just felt pressured, you know? I was like, this is going to be my last glass of wine. And it really was. I next day, I was January 3rd. I said, I'm done drinking. But it wasn't like I felt that entire month. I remember having a wedding. I didn't tell my husband till 2 weeks that I had stopped drinking. And obviously he knew because we partied a lot. But I remember just saying, I just don't want to drink. I'm not feeling it. And I remember going to a wedding. We had a wedding, and I just thought, I'm like, what am I going to, like, how is this going to work? I was so anxious. And I remember it was a away party. So we were at a hotel. I remember waking up and thinking, I don't think in all my life I have been to a wedding and not drank. And it felt amazing. Like, it felt amazing. But it's something I needed connection. And I remember going into a Facebook group, and somebody said lit quit books. And I was like, what is that? Like, I had to Google it. Obviously I Googled. I'm like, what is that? And your name kept coming up and up and up, and This Naked Mind. And I'm like, okay, you have to go with that name. Let me just see what this Annie Grace has to say. And I did not buy the book. I got the audiobook, which is fantastic, because I always recommend. I mean, you were in my car, you were in the shower, you were everywhere. And I listened to it like twice. And like what you said, I was like, wait a minute, it is poison. Like, I was mad. And one of the things that I'm very passionate now is like, how has society changed us of what we put out there? You go to TV, our kids. The other day I was talking to somebody, I play with my kids, the NFL, the draft, you know, on the phone. What is it called? Anyways, but when you win, and we're all in the family. So my nephews, my niece, my husband, everybody's there, my kids. And then when you win that week, Anyways, when you win, you get on your phone notification, and there's beer, Miller Lite, that comes up and says, yeah, you know, you're the winner. And I'm thinking, my 15-year-old and my 13-year-old are there. Like, that's just telling you, when you celebrate, you drink, right? And probably I would have never even thought about these things before, but it's right there. Like, everything has to be, you know, with alcohol and, you know, celebration. And one of the things that I loved about on your book, when you explain it so well, is just like it is, it's a drug. Either, you know, when you have, you know, cocaine, it's a drug too, but you don't see people. I mean, I just want people to realize how crazy that would be if we would tell somebody, you know, snort responsibly, you know, like, don't take it easy. No. And I think that's for so many years, I always thought I was a problem with alcohol. It was me. I just didn't know how to control it. I had not the willpower, or how, you know, how it was me. But it's No, it's an addiction. It's an addiction. And you don't say that with other drugs, you know, do that responsibly, because it's not, because you can't control it. So yeah, I mean, just coming, realizing all of that was something that I realized alcohol was no part of my life. And I remember listening to your book, and then I literally, every single podcast, I started listening to everyone. And I remember thinking, this was 2022. I remember every podcast, I'm like, I'm going to be on a podcast one day. I didn't know how, what, where, but I was like, I was so inspired, and I wanted to, like, I just want to have this movement, you know, of like, why haven't nobody had said about this, you know? So yeah, I mean, ever since, you know, I've so enjoyed everything that you have put out there. And you put it in such a great way to people to kind of understand. So,
that's amazing. So cool. So tell me more about, I know where your journey took you.
Yeah. So this was February, March, at some point of 2022. I had seen an email that came through. I can't remember exactly how it was, but somebody said, like, oh, you want to be a coach? And I'm like, oh, again, she's talking to me. Yes, I do. And I remember putting in, but there was like, no, everything's full. And I forgot about it because I forgot about it. That said, we will notify you when something opens. And in, I think it was September, I remember getting an email and said, it's like, we've got a class coming up. And would you like to be part of it? I'm like, yes, I would love to be part of. And we were in the class of November and got certified that following year, last year. And it has been nothing but amazing from there. So it's taken me to doing coaching. And also something that I didn't even know I loved, I like speaking. And having that, or the passion also comes, is talking to university young adults, not necessarily about, you know, don't drink. It's more about the awareness and that thing that we talk about what you see about marketing. And the same thing goes with, you know, sugar addiction. I see it with, you know, my kids or, you know, their friends and everything, myself. You know, it's there, it's bad for you, but they still make it, you know. So it's kind of being aware of, you know, what goes into your body, because not everything is good for you, and it doesn't need to, you know, be good. And at the same time, talking about, and the reason why I talk about young adults is they've grown up with folks like myself, that the kids grew up seeing what, you know, what their parents drank all the time and normalizing it. But do we have to normalize it? It can be a lot of folks. I always thought if somebody that didn't drink was, and I weird, and I hate saying weird, but it is true. I always thought, like, there's something wrong with that person that doesn't drink because I said that. Or there must be, you know, alcoholics. And I say word alcoholic because what is an alcoholic? An alcoholic could be somebody that, you know, in my view, I always thought somebody would wake up early and drink or get a DUI several times. And by all means, I could have had a DUI 1,000 times. So not because I didn't get to that point. And again, I don't, you know, say anything about, but it can be so much. So I would never consider myself, or never would and never will consider myself, you know, an alcoholic, because I don't like that, you know, label. But it's about changing, having fun. I mean, I've enjoy life, waking up without having to worry about the next drink, or am I going to drink today, or am I not going to drink today? It just doesn't bring me happiness. And I can never say I'll never drink again, because it's, I know a lot of family members or friends ask me, like, will you ever have a drink? And I'm like, I mean, If I want to, yeah, sure. We were on a vacation this past September, and I remember it was a lot of friends and everybody was drinking, and somebody had ordered something that was an interesting drink. So I was like, oh, let me try it. But I just wanted to like really like what was the flavor of that? And the entire table was almost like, oh my God, she's gonna drink. And I think that point I realized like people think that because you're having a sip, I'm gonna go, even if you know, like you talk about data points, you know, if I wanted to, I could, but it's not like that sip is not gonna harm me. It's not gonna put me to day one. It's like having a piece of chocolate. Or, you know, or I tell people a lot of times, they're like, well, I had a drink and I had stopped. That was so good. But now I have to go back to day one. And I'm like, if you would drink, if you would be a vegan, right? Because I'm vegan 80% of the time, 20%, I'm like, whatever. But if you would be and you have a piece of meat or you eat something, people would never dare to tell you, are you going to, oh, you better go back to day one being a vegan. So it's the same idea. I mean, it's, you know, it should be something that I would love for it to be like cigarettes one day that, you know, it's almost, most people don't drink it too much. So it's not that available. You know, and again, and it's not for everybody because if you don't have, people think that you have a problem with alcohol, like as I was saying, if you're drunk all the time or if you make a scene, you can't control it. But if you're thinking about alcohol too much, of when you should drink less or drink more, then maybe you should just change your relationship with alcohol, you know. But yeah, I mean, but life is great. And definitely, like I said, I don't know if I would have continued drinking or not, but that book, when I always want to say read it, but I have read it too. So I could say, but I, you know, that book, when I was listening to you, it was like, oh my God, it was just well put. Everything was, you know, it was just great. And I think that led me to where I'm at today. So I thank you for that.
That's just so amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your story. So let me, these questions that we ask sort of at the end, which is, first of all, where can people find you, Corinne, if they're interested in your coaching?
Yes, at the afplanet.com. Plus.
Well, what's the significance of that name?
You know what? It was, my kids have been always very involved with what I do. And I remember going through, I'm like, what name? But it's like, no, but I want to make it like global because, and I forgot to mention that also. Obviously, I speak Spanish bilingual. I overcame that. So I am bilingual. And it's just, I would love to speak not only, you know, I coach not only in English, but also in Spanish and people, you know, globally. So, and I've always wanted to do these, when I do these talks at universities, it's also on a global base. So, one of my kids go like, why don't you call it the AF Planet? So it came out to the AF Planet. And at that point where I'm sitting right now was my son's room, but I changed it to my office and he moved into my office and he had this background. And I was like, oh my God, that goes. I don't know if you could see it, but it's like a world. And so I'm like, it goes perfect. It was meant. So that's where it came from.
Beautiful. I love that. And then sort of to finish up, if you were going to go back in time and talk to an earlier version of yourself about what was life is like now, what would you say?
Oh, that it's amazing just the way it is and the way it had to play out. Loving myself and kind of listening to that inner me about when a voice, I think when something inside of you says something, listen to it, because it was always there. I just chose to not listen to it, because I think a lot of times we choose, somehow we know when something is off, we know when something needs to change, but we're afraid of listening to that voice for whatever reasons, because of pressure, society, what others might think. But it's just feeling good in your own skin. So I think that that's one of the things that I love the most. It's like, I'm happy because I know if I'll say something, you know, stupid, I own it 100%. I, you know, not something I would say stupid, but you know, sometimes you just say things that come out, whether it's funnier, whether it's good, but it's me. It has no alcohol involved. So yeah, wow. Life is good.
That's awesome. Well, that's been so great. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. It's just been awesome to hear about it. And I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Annie. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you're ready to see how This Naked Mind can help you on your personal health and wellness journey and want to learn more, go to thisnakedmindpodcast.com to learn what your next best step is. Again, that's thisnakedmindpodcast.com. We have all of our free resources, programs, social links, and more available for you there. Plus, if you have your own naked life story to share, you can submit it there as well. Until next week, stay curious.